Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today at all campuses. Come on, Faith Church, I said it's Jesus, not a ball team, the one that died for you, who loved you. Hey, man, you look good. You can be seated. Look at your neighbor and say, you got really blessed. You got to sit by me today. Your day is off to a good start. We're going to have fun today. Everybody shout, we're going to have fun today. I want to show you this slide where we're at. A lot of you are asking and emailing, like, where are we at on the big project, you know, especially online. Check this out. You guys, go ahead. That's amazing, right? So we only have $483,000 to go. That's only 483 people giving $1,000 or one person giving $483,000. Come on. I'm no math wizard, but how many of y'all could figure that one out, right? So we're going to get Fairview paid for, and Florida, the third campus they're paid for, and then we're going to go in there and fix them up. So again, thank you so much for your generosity. Today I want to talk about, you know, the right people that are in your life. I found that a lot of times education's great, but it's not just about, you know, what you know, it's about who you know. And so my prayer today really is at all campuses that you get a hold of this. I believe in this sermon. I've thought a lot about it. I've edited around on it. I've actually found some things that I think are really going to just kind of talk you into the next level in your life. First of all, 2024 is coming. Y'all aware of that? You know, just like I know the math. That was genius a second ago. I also know that next year is 24. Somebody see what I'm saying? And so if you start getting ready now, you'll be more in position to do what God wants to do in your life. So there's a couple limiting mindsets or levels in your mind, Weldon, West Palm, wherever you're watching, Ferguson, and I want to lift the lid off of that today. And again, I think it comes because of people. I want to start out with this story. I use it at the end, but I feel led to use it today. I was with a guy named John Maxwell hunting a few days ago. I'm not a big hunter. I went not to hunt. I went to hang out with this guy. And by the way, Nicole was the first girl to ever go on this hunting trip, and she slayed the guys. I mean, just slayed them. And if I learned one thing, it was like, don't jack around with Nicole, right? And John has written more leadership books than anybody in the world. Sold over 38 million, do the math on that. And he's a wise leader. Well, I'm in a small group with him. And again, I want you to think about, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Think about the people that you are in relationship with. Because in small groups, that's where the magic happens. Right now you're in rows, which is fine at all campuses, you're in rows, but really life change happens basically at round tables, when you're at tables. Now, first of all, you don't want to be the smartest person at the table. If you are, you're at the wrong table. You need to be around people that stretch your mind, that make you think differently, that people that have already been where you want to go. Okay, so in our church this size, there's a lot of people that have already been where you want to go. So John, he really lifted my mindset this last week. We were talking for 2 or 3 days, and there's a group of 6 or 8 guys, and one of them, he owns the biggest car dealership in Texas, so one out of every 4 cars in Texas, he sold them, okay, his dealership. So these are some high-level thinkers. In fact, I just felt like a mule at the Kentucky Derby. I was just glad to be there. And John kept talking about how that if you really want to be successful in life, listen to me, he said you got to really work really hard to get to the top 20%. But if you could ever get to the top 20%, I mean, you live good, you vacation good, your family's taken care of, everything changes, but there's only so many people that get there, it's the top 20%. But he said if you could ever get to, he kind of preached that all week as we're hunting and talking and hanging, if you could ever get to the top 2%, that's really where the magic happens. That's where they don't even need to call you by your last name anymore. You're just Oprah. You're just Prince. You're just Michael. Are you following me right now? So the top 2% makes a difference. Again, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You've got to get around the right people. Wise people will make you wiser. Here's my translation as well. Dumb people will make you dumber. I do love the movie. Come on, give it up for Dumb and Dumber. But I mean, you don't want your life to look that way. So John, he was figuring out what is the 2% for everybody. And you got to remember, I'm not showing off. I'm just trying to tell you that this guy's phone is ringing, and it's people like LeBron James and Deion Sanders, and this guy's a genius. He's 78 years old, and he's just super smart. So he starts talking to me after he talks to like four or five people who are figuring out what everybody's 2% is. And first of all, I'm uncomfortable with that. Are you anybody like me and you're a bit of a deflector? If it gets serious, you're like, you're going to crack a joke. You're going to deflect because you don't want to go there and put all your pain on display. It ain't going to be everybody because you're deflecting right now. But close your eyes and raise your hand. Let me peek. I'm going to peek. Okay. So it got to me and I was uncomfortable. First of all, I want you to know that as a homeschooler who never finished, that automatically dings me in my book. As a person who doesn't feel qualified to do that, this job that I have, if you want to call it that, I don't feel qualified to do it. So the enemy and my inner me is always dinging me. And that's why you got to get around the right people. And you got to come to church, go through growth track, because when you do that, it builds your confidence up. It's one thing to have confidence. It's another thing to have confidence. So he gets to me. And it literally, just last week, it was a life-changing moment for me. We're sitting there, and he gets to the 2% with me, and I said, well, one of the things that I feel like and that's kind of bothering me in my life is like two of the biggest churches in America, they're my best friends, and they're great guys. We vacation together. We hang out together. But, you know, just among us girls here, they've never asked me to speak. And that's kind of the ultimate thing, you know, as a preacher's like, oh, man, if they give you the stage, that's really cool. It wouldn't really change anything for me if you think about it, but it just bothered me. He said, have you ever asked them about that? I said, no, I really haven't. I don't even know why I haven't. I just never felt comfortable asking. And then he goes, this is hard for me. I don't even know how to figure this out. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this because I can't figure this out. I'm thinking, man, I got this guy. Everybody on the plane is going, my gosh, he has stumped him. He doesn't know. And he looks back and says, let me get this straight. What you're asking me to do, I just have never thought about how to do that. I've never thought, I've really helped people get out of the 20% and get them to the 2%, but I've never ever had a guy that was in the 2% try to get back in the people pile of the 20%. Now you got to understand, you're already out of that mix, so stop trying to be there. They don't want you there because you're too wild, you're unpredictable. You just have conversations with people. You see what I'm saying? And it's not that they're bad. And it's not that I'm better. It's just, hey, what they do is a nice thing and they play it safe. It's mostly memorizing scripts, and I get that. To me, most of the time, I'm kind of hearing what I got to say about the same time you're hearing about what I got to say. Come on, raise your hand if that makes sense to you. But here's what I want you to understand. It doesn't mean that I can't be a better me, but I've got to be true to me. I can be a better version of me, but God can't bless who I pretend to be. So if I come up here and I'm trying to be somebody else, then I'm never, ever going to be successful. And the enemy has tried to make a lot of you think, well, if you don't do it that way, and you don't say it that way, and you don't fit in, you were never called to fit in. Your job, Weldon, is to get out of the people pile, get over here in the top 2% of what you're called to do, and then be confident that you're a bad man, a jam. Somebody ought to shout amen. So that oh, I like that organ player. So listen, here's a question I have at all campuses. Did that story make sense to you? Okay. Do you feel like that, maybe there are things that need to be unlocked in me, that maybe I can't afford a therapy, but it was an epiphany moment. What it did for me, it separated this thing in my life to where I realized I don't have to try to get on that stage because it's really not going to change anything. In fact, those friends that I talk about, they're dear friends, they're amazing people, and what they want from me, they're getting from me, and what I want from them, I'm getting from them, but the enemy will always make you think that you'd be happy if, and that would validate you, when in reality, it was my own insecurity, because I really don't want to do what I need to do to get on their stage. I don't want to fit into that box. Does that make sense to you? So maybe the thing that you feel like, well, she didn't ask me out, or he didn't ask me out, or if I had an education, I'm just telling you, it feels good knowing, yeah, I don't want back in the people pile because I would have to be somebody else. And you're called to be you. You have a thumbprint to leave an imprint that nobody else can make. Come on, give it up for Jesus today. Come on, I want some noise out of that one. Okay, Ecclesiastes says this. Ecclesiastes 4, check it out. It says, two are better than one. I agree. Even at Oreo cookies, how many go with that? Do you remember one? Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift the other companion up. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. A threefold cord is not easily broken. I brought this cord up here right now because this is what you look like alone. Alone, it's pretty easy to just pick on yourself, allow the devil to cut you up, and you just go to town on yourself like crazy, burning the candle at both ends until there's really not much left of you. That cord is only so strong. But this one, I had him bring me this bad motor scooter, and how many of y'all know this one here is a lot thicker than that one? This is a threefold cord, and when I try to cut this one, it's impossible, virtually impossible, because of the way it's braided, because of the density of the rope. That's what that scripture meant. When you're doing life alone, and you're out there, and you just go to church, but you run in one door, and you're out the other. I'm not trying to get you to serve because we need free labor. That's not what this is about. I'm trying to get you to serve because if you're not serving, you're swerving. And some of the deepest connections, those epiphany moments that I just had this last week, happen in a small group. And so when you are known and needed at a church, it makes a difference. A lot of you go to this church and I can kind of recognize you, kind of know where you sit. In fact, there's some people from Washington, Missouri, Florida. You don't know anything about that, but it's a great place. There's Cowan's Pie there. Let's thank you, Lord, for Cowan's Pie in Washington, Missouri. And anybody else that doesn't know about it, please Google it and check it out. And Cowan's, please find this so you know that this is a sponsored ad by David Crank, and I need a gift card from them. I think I covered all the sponsoring. But they weren't sitting in their spot. They were over here. And I looked over there, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I didn't think you were here today. And they said, we moved up. And I thought it's like George Jefferson, moving on up. They started out back there, and they moved a little closer and a little closer, and then they got out in the splash zone. I'm here to tell you that your life needs to be a progressive forward movement towards God, towards the house of God, to the things of God, and towards consistency. Go ahead, give it up for Jesus. Ferguson, everybody. This cord is hard to break. That one's not. Again, groups. I don't know about the group thing. Let me tell you a little more. My daughter, who is singing here today, and she travels all over the world singing, writing songs, super proud of her. I mean, she writes a lot of secular songs for a lot of big artists. I'm not allowed to say, but she pays her own bills. In fact, I tell her, when you really make it big, I really, my dream would be, I would like a certain car, and I told her what it is, and she knows what I want. And I've spent a lot of money on her, and I want my money back. Okay, so it's fair. But when she was little, I had a friend named Mike, and Mike owned a bunch of Taco Bells, and he got saved at the church when we were over in Fenton and some Kentucky Fried Chickens and so on. He was a pilot. I was a pilot. And we found ourselves flying a lot to different places. When I was preaching, I'd preach for Joel or Lakewood, different stuff, and he'd go with me, and he was in my group. And he began to tell me about what was around the corner. Here's what happens at 4 years old. Here's what happens at 6 years old. My God, you wouldn't believe what happens at 12 and 13. He began to tell me things, again, that gave me insights that made me better at raising her and at staying married. Because he said, someday your wife and your daughter are going to get in an argument about makeup and whose brushes are who. And if you want to sleep inside, you got to answer this. You got to answer it right. And so sometimes her, Nicole, and Ashton would be arguing, and they both had such solid points. But how many of y'all know you need to be on the right side of this conversation? I need a better amen because some I feel like if you don't have a daughter, you don't know what I'm talking about. But again, in groups, a threefold cord is hard to break. So that's why you've got to get around people. Think about Jesus. Jesus, he said, hey, I'm not going to do life alone. He said, I'm going to travel. When I travel, I'm going to find me some people, some ride or die, some homie, my posse. Who was that? We know there's a guy that had a fishing business, and his name was Peter. For all the new people, just act like you were a little slow. Just say Peter. It was Peter, definitely Peter. So, and then he had another guy who was a physician, because you always need one of those guys. And so, and this physician, his name was, anybody know? Luke. Luke. You can remember that, right? Luke. So you got Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and these guys were always with God, with Jesus. They're walking around. It was this threefold cord. It wasn't even just because Jesus needed them while he was here on his earthly experience. Jesus was modeling for you and I that we should not do life alone. When you do life alone, you're outside of the herd, you're outside of the pack, and the enemy comes to you because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you have life. Now I'm telling you, church needs to happen and it's wonderful. But church is where we come and they're singing and we're like, how great is our God? And we're doing our thing and everybody's together and it's like heaven. Then Monday, there is no how great. Give me some more organ music. Let's see, just on cue, just like that. I don't know. There's no organ. That's a little funerally. I was wanting something a little happier. Oh, I feel like you're having church today. That guy just knows what he's doing. But on Monday, you have to cue the organ. You ain't got nothing but crickets. So on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, when you're in groups, when you're with other people, and we're going to set that up for you today at all the lobbies, you go out in the hallway, and there's little round tables you can go up to. And you can just you don't have to sign up today unless you want to. Nobody's going to pressure you into it unless you want to. But they're going to say, hey, this is our group, and we're talking about, you know, guy stuff. We're talking about girl stuff. We're in a book club. We're in a motorcycle club. All I'm saying is I don't want you doing life alone. I want you doing it with the right people for the right reason, and you'll have a lot of epiphany moments that you'll look back and say, man, I found friendships that I never knew existed. I were smart people next to me that had the answer to what I needed on the inside of them. But if you're not around them and you run out the doors, you never tap into the God potential that's in you and them. Does that make sense? Jim Rohn, the business expert, he said this. He said, you'll have the combined health, attitude, and income of the five people you hang around with the most. Now, he didn't say, a lot of people interpret this way, you're going to have the combined income, health, and attitude of the five people you admire, you listen to on podcasts. No. Jim said it's the five people you hang around the most. So some of you need to look around at your life and you need to do an inspection of who you're hanging out with. Some of you actually need a surgery. You need a friendectomy. And you got to cut some people out of your life because they won't let you go there. Because once you go there, they'll always kind of like the rope. I'll use that again. You're climbing up the rope. You're getting there, and they keep yanking you down. We grew up in a trailer, and you need to stay in a trailer. You don't belong there, and that's why. And the enemy's always pulling you. You need people that are pulling with you, saying, "Hey, this is a tug of war, but in 2024, there's going to be an open door, and I am going to be who God called me to be in Jesus' name." Go ahead, give God praise today. That's right. You can write this down if you want. You got friends for a reason, friends for a season, and friends for a lifetime. Remember when you were young and you had a friend, maybe 13 or 14, and you two little girls, you were together, and you guys were going to be best friends forever. You were going to be in each other's weddings, and you were going to do your whole life. You know, and guys were like, yeah, we're going to do this together. We're going to do that together. We're going to be best friends forever. As soon as we can drive, we're going to go to Six Flags every day. Go on, raise your hand if you remember this conversation. If you're like me and most people, that didn't happen. As you grew out of them or they grew out of you. If they can't grow with you, they can't go with you. So if they can't grow with you, they can't go with you. So you can't allow the enemy to hold you back to that limiting the beliefs because you never, you always, and you just say, you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is the world. I'm connected to God. I'm going to the church. That's making a difference in my life. I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Every week when you come to church, is there something you go, oh my gosh, I want to go back next week because that really helped me and leveled me up? Raise your hand, okay? Should be everybody. If you didn't raise your hand, I assume you want your money back. We'll check and see if you gave any. Okay, so, all right, so let's do that one more time. This church is helping you, right? So you come and you get information, but let me tell you, there is something that's explosive about getting with the people. When you're in rows, you don't know how smart the people are. By the way, you can't judge a book by its cover. Nicole was on a plane this week somewhere, or going to Women of Valve in Dallas with Jake's and those guys. She's flying back. And there was an older man there. He had a really dumpy-looking suitcase, you know, whatever, a briefcase. His shirt had dirt and stuff on it, and he just kind of laid over and fell asleep the whole time. And then he got, when the flight was over, he looked at her and said, he's probably like 75. He said, young lady, you work way too much. And Nicole said, yeah, I know, I got so much going on, blah, 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 blah. And then she was doing a bunch of blueprints and stuff for our buildings. And he goes, are you into buildings? She said, well, kinda. He goes, I'm a builder. What do you build? He began to talk about the golf courses. He began to talk about the other stuff. He said, also, you know, in the rental business. He's like, well, how many houses you got? Well, you know, we started out with, you know, one, and then we grew, and we've got it down now and more manageable to where we've got like 85. So the guy was a billionaire, but he didn't look like a billionaire, right? It's usually the guy that's wearing Gucci shoes, a Prada belt. He's broke as a joke. Come on, somebody. And the dude with dirt on him means he went to work. Are you following me right now? Not every time, but don't judge a book by its cover. What I'm saying is a lot of times at church, there's people that you're asking questions in your own mind. How do I do this? How do I do that? Where would I go for the next level? And it happens in groups. You got to show me your friends. I'll show you your future. Psalms. Let's go to Psalms. Check this out. Psalms chapter 1. It said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now there's a progression here. We see a person walking, then now they're hanging out with the wrong people, now they're just standing. And then now they've actually just started sitting. So they're not going anywhere now. This is where we drink. This is where we golf. This is what we do. This is just the cards that have dealt. We've been dealt. Now, the Bible said that we need to rise up and realize, hey, we can't identify. We need to love the people of the world, but we have to bring the people of the world the word because we got to level them up. We got to throw the rope of hope down in your neighborhood, and you need to start pulling them up. But if you're not careful, the enemy will start pulling you down. The object of the game is you've got to pull them up and realize that that's probably also going to happen in groups. When you ask a person to go to church, they're going to go, I don't want to go there. There's too many. Anybody heard the word? It's an H word? Hypocrites. Anybody ever heard that? Raise your hand. Hypocrites. My answer to that is don't go to Starbucks because we go there too. Don't dare go to Target or Walmart. We go there too. It's an excuse. Have you heard this one? I don't want to go to church because I'm such a sinner, man. The roof will fall in. Anybody ever heard of that? You need to say, hey, I don't want to start comparing the abilities to sin, but there's sins that I actually, they're in the dictionary that I invented, and I go to the church. So what you're doing is you're dispelling the myth. Now, here's my point. A lot of times people won't go to church, and you know as good as I do that church will change their life. Again, when I ask a question, we're just talking today. Do you know people that you're like, man, I wish they'd go to church because I just heard that sermon and that would have fixed Barbara's problem. That would have fixed Bill's problem. Raise your hand if you thought that. But you know good and well they're not going to go to church. They probably won't go to church, but they'll go to your house. They'll go to Starbucks. That's why I'm not asking you to do something I'm not doing. I bring sinners into my world. I hang out with people that are sinners. Jesus did that. But if you're not careful, what happens is you end up lowering yourself down to say, hey, this is the way I'm going to be and for them to accept me. No, the reason why they like you is there's something different about you. You have joy. You have peace. You have long-suffering. You have happiness. You have tranquility. Your marriage is not perfect, but it's going somewhere. Your kids actually love you. I mean, sometimes they don't like you, but deep down, they love you. Come on, see what I'm saying right now? So what we need to do, if Jesus said, here's the greatest commandment in all the world. The Bible's really thick, right? From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, there's a lot in there. Jesus said, I'm going to sum up the whole Bible. Here's my cliff notes on the Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your spirit. Recognize that? Then the next one is, you know this, love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody shout it. What? The next one is, love your neighbor as yourself. So if we love our neighbor, we got to try to get them in a group. You might not get them to church, but you could get them in a golfing group. You could get them in an eating group. Everybody has to eat. In fact, I'm still thinking about Cowan's pie right now. It came up again. Somebody needs to pray that demon leaves me alone while I'm preaching. So there's groups, and you need to be in a group. And here's something I want you to write down. One of the main reasons I'm in groups is because I need people who know me. K-N-O-W, they know me. And then they need people who N-O know me. No. See, you keep doing those sabotaging behaviors, and you never did delete his phone number out in case you needed to get a hold of him. And then now you tell your friend, well, I'm just going out for dinner tonight, and they know you, K-N-O-W. So since they know you, they know you. And they say, whatever you do, you're not doing that. You're bringing yourself back down. We've done rode that train. We already know how that comes out. You're just wasting more of your time. Raise your hand if that makes sense. So you got to get around people that know you, but it can't just be people that know you that don't know the word, because the word that you're hearing right now revolutionizes your life. It helps you make decisions. It gives you wisdom. It changes everything about you, because then when you're thinking that, oh man, that's just the way it is today, you say, no, I was walking in the way of God, and I was walking with the ungodly, but I wasn't advised, I wasn't listening to their counsel. Then I was standing next to the sinners, but I wasn't buying into the whole things. But for sure, I'm never going to sit down and allow them to dictate what is wrong and what is right, because we have to stand for something or we fall for every single scam of the devil. Does that make sense? I'm a dad talking to you today. So we love sinners because Jesus loves sinners. We love sinners because we are sinners. Some of you look depressed. I'm here to tell you, you're a sinner because you're lying to me right now, acting like you're not a sinner. Okay? So we are former sinners saved by grace. Groups. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Now, so much stuff I want to share with you. One of which is getting your foundation right. I'm going to play a video in just a second because I thought, how can I say this? And it would take me 10 minutes to say what this guy said in like 30 seconds, but it's about foundation. Check this out.
Many people don't have the wisdom and the patience to lay a good foundation for their future. When you're laying a foundation, there's no fanfare. You know, we had that we laid the foundation for the multi-purpose building. There was nothing but just the foundation. But nobody was walking around saying, man, look at this foundation. There's no beauty to just cement. But then anything that's going to be beautiful and last long got to sit upon that cement. And most people want to put something up in their life, show something, and don't have anything that is really standing on.
Does that make sense? Come on, give it up for that. It's just the foundation. Your house has a foundation. Your job has a foundation. Your life has a foundation. We sing this song. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything's shaken, the foundation matters. Your foundation matters. Now, a couple things you can do to make sure your foundation is right, and it's kind of a progression, again, of the way you think, in my opinion. You got to say, okay, my question that I want you to ask yourself, and if you're a note taker, write this down. By the way, the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. When you get your notes out, you start taking notes, and then you look at them later, it'll come back. Here's a question I have. Who is looking out for you? Who's looking out for you? And who are you looking out for? Love causes you, if we love our neighbors ourselves, we need to know that we need to be looking out for other people. Have you ever seen people heading down a direction and you're like, oh my gosh, I've already been down that road. Don't do that. I want to try that again in all campuses. How many of you have ever thought, man, that's stupid. I've already done that. Can I talk to you? Maybe you're raising kids. You know, there's a new way of raising kids. It's totally different now. The way my dad raised me and the way my kids are raising my grandson, totally different. They're like, hey, we're going to talk to you. You're going to get a consequence. My dad didn't say you're going to get a consequence. You know that consequently, you just got hit in the butt with a belt. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about right now? And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying sometimes they got to talk about the consequence. I just knew and felt the consequence. There was like, I knew what it felt like to have heated seats long before they invented heated seats. So they do it different. So I you know, Liam, he's little and he's learning. And so people at church will just come up to him and they'll be just getting his face and say, how are you doing? And he just might take the fire truck and just slap him upside the head. because they're too close and he's overly stimulated and people talk to him all the time. We can make these excuses and people just get in his space and, you know, he's just, he's violent. We don't know what made him angry. He's just angry. Okay? He said, I hit. He was at Chick-fil-A this last week. Some kids came up and they like wanted to play on something and they smacked his hands. He looked at them and said, no. And they, the two guys said, the caregiver told me the whole story. He said he came back and they did it again. He said, no. And then he just bopped both of them in the head and knocked them out. Just knocked them off the playground. They were the same size, same age. I don't know. I just think that we're going to have to probably do more than say, there's a consequence, buddy. Raise your hand if you know. I'm not saying beat a kid. I don't believe in that. I'm just saying, my dad, when he said, I'm going to give you a whipping when you got home, I was like, God, if there's any sin in my life I know about or don't know about right now, God, I repent of it, Jesus. God, give me mercy right now in Jesus' name. Okay. So I'm saying that my dad was looking out for me. I can still hear, and you can still hear, a person who is godly in your life. That's probably why you're at church today, and you can still hear them going, you got to go to church, and we don't do that, and you ain't going to act a fool that way. And you've probably even heard, as long as you live in my house and eating my food, anybody ever even seen this right here? I'm telling you right now, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Anybody? I mean, it's not going to be everybody, but there's a couple of us. And then your mom, she didn't use a belt. She just like doing this in the back of the car while she's driving. Raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about? Hit that. Then she messes her arm up, goes to the doctor and says, I messed my arm up. And they say, how you do it? And she looks at you like, I know how she did it. She's violent. You know, it's a good sermon when you got to pack up your clothes. And... All right. So my question is, who's looking out for you and who are you looking out for? You say, well, Pastor David, I can't get in a group because I have habits and I have hang-ups and I have heartbreak. Those habits, those hang-ups, and those heartbreaks are the very thing that God's going to use so you can tell somebody how you made it through. Who better to talk about a divorce than a divorced person? Who better to talk about raising kids than a person who's had kids? Who better to talk about overcoming suicide, addiction, than somebody who has faced these things? I'm just telling you, at our churches, at all of them, there's groups from Alcoholics Anonymous is absolutely awesome. I love it. Let's give it up for AA. Every week, people get into groups, and it helps them. Like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm so many days sober. I love that. Here's the only tweak I would make to Alcoholics Anonymous. Once an alcoholic, I get it. Always an alcoholic. And I get that you gotta protect yourself. But I want you thinking that way about yourself. It's a limiting belief. I want you to say, I was an alcoholic, but now that was the former me. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, I have become brand new. I'm still in AA, but I'm not identifying with that. I'm identifying with God, who said, my mercies are new every morning, and I am not what I did. I'm what I do. Now I'm on the straight and narrow. I'm headed on the right path, right? And that's the difference. That's really the only big difference is the whole Jesus aspect and the Word of God. Now stand with me because I got to go. And I know you got to go. I'm going to go preach in our city if you want to follow me. And I'm going to come back here at 11:35. A lot of people come to 11:35, the last service here, because they figure I got it figured out by now and I've edited it down. Some smart people. They've had 3 Red Bulls, breakfast, and lunch. They're ready to go. I was just realizing, it's like I can make a heart out of this. This is fun. All the girls are like, oh, guys are like, I want to see a whip. Come on right now. I want to try to pull you this weekend over to the other side, because here's what I feel like in my last 30 seconds. Some of you are driven, but you should just be motivated. I'm motivated, but I'm not driven. Here's the difference. If you're driven, I don't have time to go to church. I got to make this money. I got to build this organization. I know my daughter's going to have daddy issues, but there's camps for that. I'll deal with it later. And you're right. But when I'm in the settings that I'm in, and a lot of people say, hey, you need to take your daughter to this camp because it's where you connect with your daughter. And I go, guys, that's awesome. You need to take your daughter to this camp. You know, it's like $10,000, but they do this thing, and they heal up everything that's going. I say, guys, here's the difference. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not going to the camp because I never did what you did. You guys were driven, and you left your daughter at home. I took my whole family with me, and I've been for every hotel from Washington, D.C. to the crackville of L.A., and I took her with me so we don't have daddy issues, because, you know, you might enjoy dating a girl with daddy issues, but you don't want to raise one. You want to make sure that you're spending your life progressively in line with God's word, and you got to have people that know you and people that know you. And the only way that really happens in a church this size is get in a group. So today what you do, instead of going out the regular door and running off and I'll do it later, no, if you don't do it today, you won't do it. Get in a workout group. Whatever you do and you enjoy doing, I'm asking you to keep doing it, but don't do it alone. Do it with other believers. Raise your hand if that makes sense to you today. Father, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit of God leads them today in the lobby what group they need to be in that can make a difference. It's the difference maker in their life that brings them from even the 20%, maybe they're great, to the 2%. And God, we know that happens when we're in connection with other people, because you said that iron sharpens iron like one brother sharpens another brother. And God, I thank you for Weldon and Ferguson and online and West Palm and Earth City. God, every campus today, they're going to go out and they're going to inspect that. And God, my dream for them is that they're in a group, because groups and people have changed my life, and I love them so much, God, that I want their life to forever be changed. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand. And I want you to be seated just for 1 minute. Check this out.